I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How are you now? It's James here, brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I'm going to get that right. My name is James Wheel, Investment Manager. And a reminder that all generals are advice in nature. I'm going to get that right as well one day. Mate, speak to an advisor about your needs. Don't forget to mark well. I'm joined by Heath Moss of HL Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, mate. Doing better than you are by the sounds of it.
Shut up. No, it's going to be okay, mate. Don't worry about it. Look, hey, it's been an absolutely boring week. Good thing we got nothing to talk about. Nothing going on in the finals last week. Nothing going on in anything. Nothing going on in Japan. Mate, can you give us some sort of a thing? Oh, actually, hang on a minute. Yes, as I mentioned, this podcast is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It's going to be a quick one. We've got 15 minutes here of recording time, and then we've got to get on with our lives. The drinking game for this week, the words of the week on the drinking game, on the finance drinking game, routed. And ousted.
routed and market, ousted.
Bond market routed and US Speaker of the House ousted. You can get rousted as well if you really want to. Mate, I'll tell you what, I got in today to the office. I'm from the city office today. I'm fortunate that I've got a city office. I get to keep one here. And, you know, a little bit late from the buses, a little bit of family stuff, get in, 5 minutes coffee time, a little bit of productivity, building evacuation. Outside, all the way around to Martin Place, like you can't just tell them to sod off. And I'm just saying here, you've got to actually be a part of it. Even though I'm just sort of working here in my own little place. Anyway, I get back in. I've had about 10 minutes net total time of actually working time. Commercial real estate can go and screw off to get a little bit that way.
Well, what is it? Commercial real estate vacancies worldwide are about what, 30% at the moment. Pre-pandemic, yeah. It was 5. So we all know the state. We all know about that debt rolling over. There's a bit of trouble on the horizon still to come, I think, there.
Yeah. Now, speaking of trouble on the horizon, I had this up a second ago, is the, mate, freewheeling coming in here. Look at this photo of us from the, I'm back from the farm or the beach house, whatever it is you want to say. That, can you see that there?
Yep, just hanging on that cat. Oh, no, the beach house. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Look at that.
Is that smoke?
Look at that. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Jeez, Stockhead, love a bit of an ad. That's the fires that were down there at East Gippsland. They were coming in from the west, so that's a view from the beach house there. That was scary. It's going to get worse. Now, it keeps you in mind, there's a segue here, that before the big issues sort of start, make sure that you are prepared, that you have a plan, and that you're ready to put it into place. Now, the metaphor for that is not just necessarily with regards to bushfire preparedness, but also with regards to what you're going to do in your portfolio when the 10-year eventually hits 5%, which is something that I suggested may happen, should happen to the market. Now that it is happening, it seems like maybe there's not as much of a crazy panic around as there was anticipated to be, that rates are up to this sort of normal level. My reasoning behind it back then, and not crowing and not saying I called it, I was just saying it needs to be about there because it means that as advisors, it does mean, and as portfolio managers and as super fund holders and everyone who does what they need to do, it does mean that you can actually allocate your risk in a more sensible level as opposed to having to take bigger punts on stupider things. And we saw what those stupid things were. I'm still holding some of those stupid things, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get out of them. But it does mean that you can. So portfolio allocation is now much easier, theoretically, to do so with rates in the safest assets in the world much higher. However, we are seeing that there is a severe rout drink in various parts and various assets that are doing it. I still hold firm to my theory and the Global X theory as well, that the mega tech doesn't really respond as much as they should to that raising rates because of that discounted cash flow thing that should be. They don't do what the textbooks say that they do. You're going to get a really big chance to pick up some of those stocks at big, thick lines wherever they are. We don't have any charts here. Heath, mate, do you want to give us a quick overview of what else is going on in the market apart from, tell us about what's going on in yields. Hit it.
Yeah, mate, that's what it's all about this week is yields. They really took off over the last week since we last spoke, the 10-year in the US, especially the long-dated yields, I'll say. Duration is the theme. Yeah. The 10-year hit about 4.8. Now, that's up, I reckon, 30 basis points in about a week. It's now settled back down to 4.7 due to some softer data overnight. The shorter end of the stick, the 2 years, are around about where they were, about 5% at the moment. So that inversion is really shortening. It's down to about, 30 bips there. That was over 100 bips about 3 months ago. So we're seeing a real shortening there. And we've seen it here in Australia. We've seen the 10-year really take off here too. It's about 4.6% at the moment. Did hit a higher 4.7%. So that's the story of the week. And that's got equities a little bit jittery. The S&P 500 down about 0.5%. NASDAQ's up 0.4% though, so a little bit of recovery there. But the Australian market, the SJO, down 2.2%. It really hit us hard here, those yields spiking and whatnot. So that's basically the story of the week. We saw oil come off big time last night. They saw a gasoline build, so not an oil inventory build, but a gasoline build of 6.5 million barrels, so a big build there. So there's concerns about demand, higher prices squashing demand, which, oil, whilst it's inflationary, it's also deflationary because, if you're having to fill the car up to go on holidays and it's, a couple of bucks extra a gallon or whatever, then you may be like, well, maybe we'll stay home this time around and not to go on those Christmas holidays or whatever it is. So oil's really come off a bit. It's down to about 86, I think. Yeah, you go for it, Jim.
There's two arguments here. First off, do you want to be a hero in oil? It's so funny the number of people that were like, oil's going to go 100, oil's going to smash through. There's also some things out of Russia on diesel too, but I mean, let's not go too far into it because we want to make it a quick podcast, so we don't want to make it the oil podcast. But this is US real personal spending for August, showing that there is still strength, and this has been a big part of what's been going on. There's still strength in the US economy. This is through Daily Shot, and it's on the screen here, showing that the US personal spending, US real personal spending, still continues to go up. And then last night you're hearing, demand is coming off because of this. And it's like, which it's got to be one. It's got to be one or the other, or sort of some sort of blend of both between the two. I still hold firm that the US consumer is and has been the most stubborn mofo of any of this situation, and they will continue to do so. 60, I think I'm allowed to say that, 60-something percent of US GDP is the US consumer. Globally speaking, it's about 15% of global GDP, last time I checked, based on those mathematics. They have stubbornly managed to continue to bullishly spend their way through this. I think that they will continue to do so. Any weakness in the oil price, any weakness in gas prices means that they're back on the road and back doing what they're doing. And they don't really care. And you've got the fact that, here we go, next bit. With the craziness, the GOP has just basically committed suicide, not to make joke of that situation, but they are cutting their own heads off, those guys, in what they're doing over there. strengthens the Democrats. Biden, more debt relief. Biden, more inflationary pressures. Not going to do much for the oil price as well, based on where the Democrats are. Okay, play that into this, I suppose. You're going to get those two. So you're going to get a debt relief, which then adds to more consumer ability, but then you're going to have higher prices because Biden's an idiot when it comes to the SPR and also when it comes to renewables. So more of the same. I've got no point of view.
Do any of those bills get through though? Especially with McCarthy gone now, it's going to make things a little bit
everything
tougher.
Just stagnates. Hey, yeah.
We've got about 45 days until the next possible shutdown. They averted it for 45 days. McCarthy is gone. It looks like they could go into this with no speaker. None of those bills, I mean, there's a small group of Republicans that are really pushing hard for some tough cuts in those bills. Rightly so. I mean, the government should be cutting spending and not running these huge deficits. Because if they can't come to an agreement of 45 days, then, you know, the economy shuts down, or the government shuts down and businesses stop spending because everything becomes so uncertain. And they sit on their hands and go, okay, we'll wait to see if there's a little bit more certainty. It's more than likely that, you know, 11th hour again, we get another agreement and yada, yada, yada. But that risk hangs over the market for a while. And whilst those yields are relatively really high, real yields are going much higher as well, I can't see a bullish narrative for the market in the short term. We're heading into Q3 earnings next week.
However, statistically speaking, here is the just going off my note here. This is very handy. The S&P 500 average returns by the month and their standard deviations. Thank you to Scott Helfstein of GlobalX. Again, I just saw this on his LinkedIn profile, but you can get this from pretty much 1,000 places. I've got it. September is always crappy. Historically crappy, going back to 1950 on average, and this is up here. October is traditionally slightly less crappy, with about a 1% average return for the S&P 500, but it swings wildly with its standard deviations going anywhere between 6% up and 4% off, however marginally up. The next 3 months are usually up because now we go into the next quarter of reporting. Second real week of October, at the end of next week is when US reporting sort of kicks off. It's going to be all eyes on. Now, based on what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, keep an eye on the outlook from companies. If they're saying we see it to be bullish, we think the consumer is in, we think that things are going great, we think that everything is going fantastically, yields will continue to go up. Or he says, as if I know where the 10 years going, as if anyone does. But yields should continue to pop up because of the stability and there's no landing and that there's no recession, which means that yields go up, which then means that big chunks of the market do come off. So good reporting is actually going to be bad. So pay attention to that. So then that means that if you get good reporting, then this maybe the 1% up month of October may not be so fruitious. However, if you get the company saying, hey, we're seeing some really bad ordinary outlooks that are going on here, yields come off, everything gets a little bit easier, and we get a night similar to sort of last night, I'm going to say, potentially, maybe with, although here's the thing, oil then goes up on that sort of weakening because rates come off, but then this dog chases its effing tail again around the table. There's no way out of that, actually. I'm not entirely sure how I do it. That's in anywhere near certain.
Yeah, I mean, look, but actually, the one thing though that has happened, and we saw that in the Q2 earnings, is companies have a little bit more certainty with their guidance. We got their record amount of forward guidance given in Q2 since, I think, 2019. So since the pandemic, because everyone remembers that, you know, basically everyone cut their guidance from their earnings sheets. So it was too uncertain. We didn't know what was going to happen. And that slowly crept back in. So I suppose that's a good thing for markets. We get a little bit more, through the looking glass, a bit of a future, look at the future. And like you said, I mean, if companies are going to come through and say the consumer is still really strong, then those yields are going to start keep on spiking. And we'll get the first taste of that with Pepsi next week. Pepsi, okay. I like then, Pepsi, Coke, McDonald's, all those staples. They get a real good look at the US consumer and how they're spending. And the theme has been Prices have been up because of inflation, but volumes have come down a smidge. I think we start to see those volumes start to come off a lot more whilst prices remain lofty. So,
all right, we've got a minute. We got a minute left here. My producer's yelling at me.
All right.
This chart that's up here shows that any time that there is a rise in bond yields typically ends with a financial accident. Pay attention to that. Next week, we have David Scutt on the podcast. It has been confirmed. Pay attention. Scutty is in the house. He's very keen to get amongst it.
FinTwit royalty there.
Yeah, FinTwit royalty. Fantastic times. Now, your pick. We've got a minute left. Go.
NFL.
We got our picks up, tips up. Mate, we are unbeatable.
Yeah, we did.
We are unbeatable. We go.
Pies 1-39 for myself. Yep. NFL, since the AFL's no longer going, NFL, the Philly Eagles to cover the line at -4.5 versus the Rams paying $1.90. I like that. The Eagles are on fire.
I'm gonna pick the Bears tomorrow in the Thursday night football.
The Bears.
So
wow. Mate,
the Bears to get their first win of the season against the Washington Commanders, but they need points. Give them 6.5. So take it down
6.5
to about $1.80 or something like that. That's all for the show that we've got here. A quick one. I'm sorry. We've just got to get on with our lives and everything. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Heath, mate, thank you for joining us from HML Investments. Mark Well.
Have a good one, guys, and I'll see you next week.
Have a good one. Talk to you. Bye. Go the best.